don't know, oh, where to begin. We are North Americans, and for those of you who still think we're from England, we're not, no. We put our planes and our trains till we think we might die.
Hello, buddies. Welcome back to the Buckscast, the first Buckscast in over a month, and the first show that Abraham Jerlisky has done in about a month and a half. Guys, sorry about the Abe. How are you doing?
Better than the Bucks.
Zing. Yeah. That's really not hard to do. We're gonna have the Bucks season review show. I was thinking about doing like a recap of the last month, but the season is over. We only have one game left of the season, so might as well just review the entire show. And Mr. McIver, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, actually.
You are?
The season's coming to an end, and gonna feel better than ever.
Yeah, most definitely. And let's tell everybody what we've been doing in month to make the wait for our new Buckscast so long. First off, let's actually schedule this thing out. In the first 2 weeks, we were trying to do it, but like scheduling got out of the way. I'm basically always ready to do a show because basically I have no life. But Abe is in college doing his thing, and Nick is of course working until like 8:30, so it's kind of hard to get everybody situated and not have them fall asleep, right, Nick? And then after that, I made a little vacation to Florida, and of course the last thing you want to do in Florida is sit around and do a show about a mediocre basketball team. So yeah, that's how we got to this point. Abe, what have you been doing since the last episode?
Watching a lot of baseball, I guess.
Yeah, most definitely. We're going to have a new Brewers viewer show, I think, probably on Friday. We're going to have this show, which is going to probably come out on Tuesday. We're going to have a NBA playoff preview show where I personally am going to talk to some NBA bloggers. I don't think Abe or Nick's going to be on there because of course, scheduling issues. And finally, on Friday, we're going to have, of course, a new Brewers Fear podcast and talk about, of course, the Brewers season so far. Of course, right now, the Brewers are 500 and have a road trip where they go against the Nats and the Pirates. I expect big things from that road trip. So, Nick, what have you been doing since the last episode?
Well, of course, working and other stuff.
Wait. sounds exciting. Did you go to North Carolina since last episode, or?
Yeah, I was earlier. Early March.
Okay.
I was in Charlotte, yes.
Yeah.
I went to Milwaukee, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That was Florida. Interesting. Florida was nice. And then I went back to Wisconsin, and it was in the 30s. But of course. But now it's getting better. It's in the 60s. Frizzy 60s. Storming. Great, great stuff. Tornadoes. That's just brilliant.
It was 90 in North Carolina today.
Who cares? Shut up. So, we're going to take a quick break. This is not the weather in North Carolina, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Florida podcast. This is the Bucks cast, and we're going to take a quick break and talk about the Bucks season review. Yeah, Nick, you have to talk about it. So. In the noise blade section. This is for the headshots, not the
in the mix. My people in the front, confidence spit. Batters in the box, top of the pitch. Hilltop, hood, joke, hop in his bitch. And we the funk leaders, punksy camp beaters. We bump and pump meters, who drunky chumps meters. So jump with us, down the front, if it's a flavor. Your flavor, come get drunk with us.
This life turned out nothing like I had planned.
Why not? By now I should have had some land, some money in my hand, round about 50 grand, but I got nothing. Love on the runs and the bus, I keep suffering. Suffer the lungs of the dark.
Welcome back to the BucksCast. Of course, now it's time to talk about the Bucks season in review. Of course, the Bucks are not going to be in the 2011 NBA playoffs. They got eliminated in the Pacer scheme this past weekend. And first off, Abe, what made you happy with the season? What came out to you as being like positive?
Wow.
It's okay. Take your time.
Come on, take your time. Take your time. Think. Think.
We get a high draft pick, most likely.
In a draft?
I mean, I don't. I mean, like, no one really took a good step forward. The record was certainly not up to where we expected. A lot of injuries. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with we're going to get a high draft pick.
Bucks fans finally figured out that John Hammond is not really that smart.
I think that's a little unfair, but
he didn't know that Sessions was a strict free agent.
What?
Yeah, he said in the radio interview that he was an unrestricted free agent.
You misspoke.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't think that was that big of a deal.
Yeah. So no positive things have come out from the season. Nick, you.
Andrew Bogut didn't fall on his other elbow.
All right, that's positive. That's positive. He really didn't get hurt too badly. This season.
I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that though.
Nick, what do you have to say?
Well, positive. I disagree with Abe. I think there's a lot of positives you could look at this season. Larry Sanders.
Really?
I mean, Larry Sanders had a good March.
Okay, good month.
That's right. That's
a lot
fair.
Of months of the season.
Well, he had an average March. I wouldn't say a good March. I mean, for a rookie.
Yeah, he was good.
He saw the potential where he could be in the near future. A nice energy player. And some other positives. I can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
Brandon Jennings said this.
Oh, screw him.
Heartbreak. Decent after y'all heartbreak.
Yeah, I guess. He just started shooting up shots. He went to Michael Redd school and just.
And Michael.
Yeah, where was the double double?
Oh, Drew Gooden had triple double on Saturday.
That was
the highlight of the year right there.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to say some positives, but.
Okay, let's talk about the negatives. Abe, go.
Well, okay.
What about your positives, Dakota?
Yeah, what's your positive?
Okay, let's take it players. Getty? No. Gooden. Gooden's actually been kind of productive lately with the triple double and all. Sierra? No. He's been on the bench line. Sanders. Actually, I think that in the minutes that Sanders played, he has shown signs that he can be a, you know, a decent, you know, starter in the league.
Is this?
What?
Who's that?
Sanders.
Yeah, I think Nick was right with that. He's been, I don't know, he's definitely raw, but he's definitely gotten improved since day one in the program.
Yeah.
His athleticism is real.
Yeah. Positives. It's really hard to think of positives when you expect a team to, you know, be the fifth or fourth seed, you know, in the Eastern Conference, and they just are not. On the positive decline of this is the fact that next year we probably won't have so many injuries. That's a positive for next year.
Right. Usually with a bad season like this for any team, usually there's a player that has a surprising year and you can always make that the bright spot, but you can't.
Well, he's really been shocking. Like, we expected.
Been bad. Yeah.
Boykins had a good month.
He had a good first half of the season, I guess.
He certainly had really good games, like a lot of good games. He's been the Laker game.
There is a positive. Bogut has a great chance of being on second defensive team, if possibly.
Lou Grisham and Mamute has shown signs that he can actually kind of shoot. Well, he's shown signs, but I'm not saying he's going to be the next Reggie Miller. He's shown signs.
I think he's kind of abandoned the shot. He's looking more to drive now. He gets that open 18-footer instead of taking it. He's taking it to the hole.
Positive over like last year's fact that we're trying to get to the foul line, the free throw line. We're being more aggressive, and with that comes like charges against us. But we're being more aggressive, of course, thanks to McGetty, who was charging. Trying to get to the foul line every single time, which kind of angers opposing fans, but whatever. But now let's talk about the negatives of the season. This portion is probably going to take a long time, so let's get to Abe with the negative of the 2010-2011 book season.
I think that really any concern that anyone had coming into the season really happened. I mean, McGetty, the concern was, oh, well, he's kind of a selfish career player who's not going to fit in. Well, that's kind of been what's happened with him. Drew Gooden's kind of gets it incomplete because he had plantar fasciitis. But really, he's kind of been a disappointment. He's kind of been, you could even say, he's kind of been what he is. Brandon Jennings didn't get any better. Bogut kept feeling that injury, and he hasn't gotten any better mostly because of the injury, but he's kind of taken a step back from that step forward that he took last year. John Salmons, the fear was, well, now he's got a long-term contract, he's not going to play as well. Yeah. And that's happened. So I think that, like, a lot of those fears that people were saying, okay, well, a lot of these guys kind of have a butt after their positive traits, and I think all those butts have been manifested, and it's just been one humongous mess, you know? What were the concerns? Well, you don't have a backup center. Well, Bogut, while he didn't miss many games, he was definitely affected the entire season, and it would have been nice to be able to maybe give Bogut some off days after back-to-backs, or play him, you know, 25 minutes instead of, 35 some games. And that didn't happen because the backup was John Brogdon. And Brandon Jennings, you know, when he missed those, you know, that month or so with his injury, there's no backup point guard. And it was, you know, and then McGetty kind of started off the season where Delfino had this concussion and Gooden with his fasciitis and all those injuries. You know, this team was lauded because we had so much depth, but so all the injuries just killed them.
Yeah. And I personally have said, ah, that seems screwed for the next 3 to 4 years. But when I think about it more and more, if... I know how cliche it sounds, but if we stay healthy next year, we can, you know, be back to what we wanted to be, you know, at the beginning of the season.
I mean, there's no reason. There's no reason we can't. I mean, you get this team into camp. I mean, I know this has been mentioned time and time again, especially, you know, on FSN Wisconsin, but, I mean, this team had never had all 15 players play. And it wasn't, and you can say, oh, well, Red was injured, that's why. Well, even if you count Red, it still hasn't been that way. I mean, Maggette and Gooden, two guys who are kind of question marks coming in because of how often they've played with losing teams or it hurt their teams when they've been playing, they didn't get a chance to integrate. And, you know, then all of a sudden you have all these injuries to guys, you know, like Ersan and Delfino who had been there. So all of a sudden these guys are playing heavy minutes. And so they kind of had to practice essentially on the court.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, let's actually kind of, like, map out the entries of the season. At the start of the season, it was Delfino and CDR. And then it was kind of like Gooden, Maggette, like, and Jennings. And basically everybody has been injured in some way or fashion, maybe other than John Brockman.
But, I mean, and who's and he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, like, how often can you say that every team has missed somebody? I mean, there was a post on Basketball Perspectives that the Bucks have lost the most minutes,
yeah,
the most using whatever metrics they advanced metrics. You know, they're like win shares or whatever. You know, depending on how much you believe in those things. You know, they missed the most by that. Just all those, you know, minutes, and then they kind of rated it for how many minutes they've missed, and the Bucks were leading in that. And a lot of people are saying, okay, well, look at some of the other teams and their injuries. Look at the Bulls. Well, really, the Bulls have only missed Joakim Noah and Carlos Boozer at different times. And really, I think Carlos Boozer almost makes them worse. Because really? Carlos Boozer's just not... I mean, not worse. Okay, maybe worse is strong, but I just don't look at Carlos Boozer as this big guy that they're missing. I think he's really overrated because he's so good on offense, but he's horrendous on defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the Celtics, well, they signed two 30, high 30s guys with a ton of miles on them in Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal. I mean, do you... They didn't. No one in their right mind expected them to play 82 games. And so, I mean, a lot of these teams that have been allegedly recovering from injuries have had nothing compared to what the Bucks have had. And then you look at the Trailblazers. Well, Greg Oden's played like 82 games in 4 seasons. Did you really expect him to play a lot of games? And guys like Marcus Camby and Brandon Roy have been injury prone their whole year. I mean, say what you want about a lot of the Bucks guys, but the guys that have been hurt, I mean, Jennings hadn't missed the game prior to this year. Delfino really hadn't been had any major injuries. Bogut usually missed, you know, like 10 games, but he's been so affected in every game. Gooden really hadn't missed many games at all. Maggette usually missed about 10 games. Salmons really didn't miss many games either, so a lot of these injuries aren't really, like, injury-prone players. It's not your Greg Oden and stuff that you kind of say, okay, well, that's expected because he's an injury-prone guy. It's not like the Bucks gambled on like injury-prone guys. They've just gotten injured, and it's really a fluke.
Mm-hmm. And like, the actually, let's actually go to Nick with his negatives of the season.
Negatives?
Yeah.
Didn't you just went over every negative there?
Do you have anything else to add?
Everything just went wrong that could have went wrong. I'm sorry, Dakota. I agree with A with all the negatives with the players we brought in. With all the players we brought in that were the question marks, those negatives became true with John Salmons and Drew Gooden and Corey Maggette. Every negative that people were talking about with Maggette, with him playing on losing teams, like Abe said, and him not playing team basketball. It just, I don't, it just, nothing really gelled from the start because of the injuries. I mean, I don't like using injuries as an excuse for anything, but.
But you have to.
Yeah, this, for this team, it's just been awful because I heard Skiles said that he hasn't had one practice at all year with all his players, not even had a practice with all healthy players. Not talking about a game, talking about
practice. Listen here, I'm supposed to be friends, but we here talk about practice. Not a game.
I didn't even realize I just said that.
How the hell are you supposed to make your teammates better by practice?
And the thing is, okay, everyone wants to say, you know, the spur of the moment thing is to say, okay, well, the Packers won the Super Bowl and they had so many injuries. Well, it's different in basketball because there's no injured list. There's no IR, so you can't just say, okay, Michael Rudd, we're going to put you on the disabled list and we're going to call somebody up from the D-League. That doesn't happen in the NBA. So if your guy gets hurt in the NBA, you still have to keep him on the roster. You go to your next man up, which means, okay, John Brockman and Earl Boykins, who are, you know, they're pretty much about as good as you're going to get in those, you know, 14 or 15 men on the roster guys. You know, there's not many guys in the NBA in those spots on other teams that are much better or worse than those guys. They're just kind of those guys who should be inactive. But then you got to say, okay, John Brockman, you went from the 14 to 15 men on our roster. Now you're going to start playing 20 minutes a game. And that's going to happen to any team. Yeah. You can't just call up, you know, somebody from the D-League or from AAA or from the practice squad or sign them off the street because you can't just cut those guys. It's just how the NBA works, and something I would really want to see better integrated into the new CBA and on a player personnel standpoint, because it's hard if you get through all these injuries. I mean, I remember last year when Jennings had that 55-point game, the Warriors were down to 7 players. It's just a huge disadvantage if you have something like injuries in the NBA, because you can't just cut these guys, or, you know, there's no injured list or disabled list or whatever, and it's hard, it's difficult to put those guys in situations where they're not good enough to succeed, and that's a huge detriment to any team, not just the Bucks. That would happen to anybody, except unless, you know, you're like the Lakers, where Lamar Odom, who would probably be the Bucks' second best player, comes off the bench for the Lakers.
You know, it's definitely, and, wow, Nick, wow. And people, like, have complained about John Brockman and how much he stinks forever, but...
He does stink.
But nobody was expecting him to be, like, starting. I think he started, like, 10... I think at the most 10 games, I don't know. But nobody was expecting... John Brockman is... It's never going to be good enough to match up against the great centers of the NBA. He just can't. He's the guy that comes off the bench for the 4 to 5 minutes a game and just works his, you know, heart out.
It's a lot of rebounds. Like
20 minutes, you have to conserve energy, and you know, I don't think Brockman is used to that and just playing against the best in the league.
And the same with Earl Boykins.
Yeah.
It's just one thing that's just really bugging me is last year Hammond traded Jody Meeks for virtually nothing, and we could have really used his shooting this season on his team. It's just been bugging me, the whole Jody Meeks trade last year.
Well, you kind of wonder what the heck was going on. You know, I mean, I don't watch many Sixers games except when they're playing the Bucks or anything, but Jody Meeks has just, you know, if it's an open shot, he's going to make it a lot of the time.
Right. He's starting on a playoff team, I mean.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. We traded Primoz Brezic, who I love because he was on the show, and Royal Ivy for a starter on a playoff team. He's going to be a starter on a decent playoff team, and he's turning into, really? Like, a great shooter.
Well, you kind of wonder, and I think that, I mean, obviously it's, you know, a small sample size, and it's, you know, it's not like a direct correlation or anything, but it makes you wonder at least a little bit about Skiles' offensive system, because Meeks was awful. He was not making shots at all with Milwaukee. But he's made a lot of shots. He's shooting like over 40% from three with the Sixers. And what has been, you know, one of the most frustrating things about the season is that the guys like Ersan and, you know, Salmons and everybody, they're not making open shots. It's like they get an open shot and they clank it off the rim. Or what do? They take it and they pump fake and they shoot it and then they end up getting a worse shot than they had it the first time. So I don't know, maybe if it's necessarily Scale's system or maybe like a shooting coach or something, but something's going on that these guys are just missing everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. you don't get 30th in the NBA. I mean, okay, this team may not be, you know, a world beater. They're not the Showtime Lakers or anything, but if you look just up and down on just a street talent evaluation, it's not like this team has no business being the 30th ranked offensive team.
This is the worst scoring team in Bucks history.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. And I mean, there's, you look up and, like I'm saying, you go 1 through 15, it's not like, okay, is this, this team probably shouldn't be a top 10 offensive team, but maybe if they're, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20, and then you combine that with, I'm not sure what they finished with, but, you know, back when they at least were contending for an A spot, they were up to third in defensive efficiency. You combine the third in defensive efficiency with, you know, 15 and 18 in offense, the team is probably somewhere up with the Hawks and the Magic in the East.
And one key stat is I saw something Jim Paschke put up on Twitter. He said the Bucks are 30 and 12 when they score at least 90 points. That was before Saturday. So they're 32 and 12, I guess, now. And that should just tell you everything about this season. They just scored 90 points at least this entire season. They could have been, no telling what the record could have been this year.
Yeah, but that also has to deal with the amount of injuries that we've had this season.
Yeah, I know. That stat was just telling of the whole.
And you don't know if that, I mean, that could be a lot of things too, because that could be, okay, well, maybe they need to push the pace a little bit because, you know, points per game is not, you know, like the most accurate thing. You don't know if maybe they should push it more or if it's just they just get into bad slumps or what it is, but I don't know. It's been a frustrating year, and I think pretty much everyone can agree with that. I don't think anybody, even the most pessimistic Buck fan, would expect this season to end like this. I mean, even like the most kind of, you could say, like objective looking at things and how the worst could have been, I think most people still would have expected the Bucks to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the thing is, like our top five, like, scoring threats have been injured. Like, Jordan, McGetty, Jennings, Salmons,
Salmons. Well, Bogut, I mean, yeah, Bogut's the biggest. I mean, I don't know how it ended up, but I know for most of the stretch run, he was something at like a 48 true shooting percentage, which, I mean, it's just awful. And Bogut is a legitimate guy you can give the ball into the post, at least until this year. He was a legitimate guy you could get into you could give the ball into it in the post, and he, you know, had a pretty good chance of getting you some points out of it. But with that, with the elbow injury and, you know, I'm sure just everything else, just the offensive year just wasn't there for Bogut. He regressed from the free throw line, the hook shot. I mean, I just hope for his sake and for the Bucks' sake that he doesn't have to relearn all those things, because he had got into a stretch last year where that hook shot was almost money. And if he has to relearn the footwork and relearn kind of the arm angle again, that's you could almost say that another wasted year, because he's going to have to rehab this summer. And you just hope he doesn't have to start all over again.
Yeah. Nick?
Fear the deer.
I haven't heard that phrase since November. Fear the deer, seriously.
I saw it, like, I can't remember when they beat. They had a big win. Maybe like beginning of March, they had a really big win, and I saw it a little bit there. But and that's it's kind of sad because you know the Bucks, if they would have had a good season, were on the verge of getting that momentum of the city and more importantly the state, and maybe they would have had a more glowing long-term future because we're kind of back to square one in terms of what's the future of this team in Milwaukee, what's the future of this team in Wisconsin. You know, where is this team going to be when Herb Cole, you know, eventually, and it's, let's be honest, it's not that far off. You know, he dies, and what's going to happen with this team?
Yeah. And I sound like, and we are one of the, you know, small market teams, I think the NBA is looking at it and say, okay, this Bucks team can move here, here, and here, and you know, maybe prosper, and we have one of the oldest arenas in the league, and we didn't even, the Bucks organization didn't even pay a cent for the arena. And the thing is, like, in the next 5 to 10 years, who knows if we're gonna have a Milwaukee Bucks team?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's really kind of sad, but it's really something that you have to think about. And like, would like the entire state of Wisconsin like really care? I know Milwaukee would, I think, but like Wisconsin, it's all about, you know, the Packers and the Brewers.
And even though the Brewers haven't done anything more than the Bucks have in the past 25 years.
Yeah, but
it's kind of crazy.
It's the Packers, Bucks, Badgers, then the Bucks, like, in a distant fourth. At least where I'm at.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, but...
Yeah, I know.
And that, I mean, they've been exhausted, and there are things, a lot of things that just aren't really, they're not going to change. But I think the Bucks are important to Milwaukee. I mean, the game I went to when they were playing the Sixers, I mean, there was a good crowd in there, and I mean, that was after the Charlotte game when the playoffs were pretty much out of the question. So I mean, I think that the passion is still there. I just think that, I mean, let's face it, you've got to have a team that wins.
Just hit some open jumpers and people will come.
Exactly, and I mean,
simple as that.
So. Yeah, do we need a new arena to be, you know, a championship contender? Probably, but, you know, I mean, I haven't been in the Bradley Center in about 12 years, but it's sad because I think the Bradley Center, at least, like, on the inside of the arena, but not in the kind of, like, the bowl area, the kind of, like, the lobbies of the Bradley Center are really nice, but the inside of the arena, it's a hockey arena. I mean, it's not a basketball arena. A lot of the seats are really old.
Yeah,
you know, you can just tell, besides the video board, that the thing is ancient. It's archaic. I mean, it's still got those, you know, in the far upper corners, it's got those, like, you know, black and yellow little, I don't even know what to call them, but I mean, it looks like MS-DOS up there. It's just, I don't know, I mean, it's something that has to be done. And the thing that's more frustrating, I think, is Milwaukee, just as a city in general, needs a new, like, multi-purpose facility. It's not like, okay, well, you know, the Bucks just need a new arena. Like, the city of Milwaukee itself needs a convention center just for, you know, conventions and concerts and all these other things. I mean, they need a new arena just for the city, so you hope that it can happen. And I don't think the Bucks are, like, one of the top, you know, 4 or 5 teams that would relocate. But I think the Bucks are definitely kind of they need to be on alert. They need to be proactive to prevent a Seattle situation or a Charlotte situation from happening where they lose
a Sacramento situation.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I think, you know, you look at the New Orleans Hornets and the Chicago or the Charlotte Bobcats. And the Kings, which I think is all but a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are kind of your teams, your kind of first tier of teams that are almost halfway out the door. But I think the Bucks are very much in that next tier. And you can even say they might go to the next tier once Herb Cole passes away.
And the thing is, like, would, like, Wisconsin really hurt if the Bucks leave? Because, like, there's like a big group of diehard fans, but Wisconsin in general, the millions and millions of, you know, Wisconsinites, would they really hurt if the Bucks leave? Because I think personally, where I'm at, you know, Midwest Wisconsin, and, you know, 2-3 miles away from Milwaukee, there's really not, you know, that many Bucks fans, actually. And class, some guys did, like, a report about the NBA lockout, and he was talking about, like, the Bucks leaving, and the teacher asked people what they really care if the Bucks left, and, like, 3 out of, like, the 12 people there raised their hand. And, like, yeah, it would probably change a lot for the Brewers and the Packers.
And, well, a part of it is, I mean, there's so much, like we said earlier, there's so many reasons for that, but the easiest way to do that is to win games, and you also have to kind of look at it and say, I think the Bucks do a kind of a poor job of marketing to the entire state as well. So that's, I think, something that the Bucks as an organization can improve on, because, I mean, you look at the Brewers, they do a ton of stuff for the rest of the state in terms of marketing and just, like, deals for, you know, people that are outside of the typical drawing area. And I know it's harder because a lot of the Buck games are on, you're in the winter when it's really pain to get out and there's not really any tailgating and, you know, like, they're not, like, series games, you know, and a lot of the games are on weekday nights when it's not realistic to drive all the way back home after that. And it's not during the summer, so, you know, the kids are still in school. So, you know, there's a ton of reasons, and some of them are very legitimate, but I think the Bucks could definitely do a better job of trying to draw in the fandom of the entire state and not just kind of the greater Milwaukee metropolitan area.
No, definitely, and, you know, I look around, you know, where I live, you know, I see a lot of, you know, Brewer shirts and Packer shirts and, you know, Badger shirts. I barely see anything associated with the Bucks. And when I went to Florida a few weeks ago, I saw a lot of, you know, of course, Gator stuff and Magic stuff, and I barely saw anything that dealt with the NHL teams that were in Florida. And I don't know about that situation, but you have to market your team outside of, like, the area, like the 50-mile radius where your team is, if you're a professional team like the Bucks are. You have to market throughout the state, of course, the state of Wisconsin, and not, like, in the 50-mile, 100-mile radius around Milwaukee.
And, I mean, they're kind of behind the eight ball, too, because, well, there's nothing south, because anything south is pretty much Chicagoland, and there's nothing in East because of Lake Michigan. And, you know, you're only down to two directions, and you can't go too far west because you've got Minneapolis to deal with. And a lot of those big western Wisconsin cities are kind of more related to Minneapolis than the rest of the state. So, I don't know. There's a lot of politics involved. And I think a lot of people, for the wrong reasons, are kind of scared to go down to downtown Milwaukee. And there's some people who are just turned off by the NBA in general because they say, you know, oh, people don't try hard, they don't play hard. And then there's that whole, you know, Malice at the Palace relapse and all that stuff that I think is just complete trash. And that anybody who has followed the league in the last couple of years knows that that's not legitimate. The NBA is completely different now than it was in the late 90s and early 2000s when all these guys were making tons of money and they weren't good, but every team was trying to create their next Michael Jordan and, say, the overpaid guys like Jermaine O'Neal and gave a ton of money to guys way too early and they never really matured. You know, you can even kind of throw Michael Redd in that group. Every team was trying to have their Jordan, and there's only one Michael Jordan, so So I think a lot of fans were turned off because all these guys, basically, especially during the lockout, got fat and they got 9 kids and.
Shock him. Yeah. What?
Huh?
Abe.
I didn't say anything.
I said Sean Kemp.
Oh.
Not get fat.
Sean Kemp, Ben Baker.
Yeah, Nick.
Yes.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say they were kind of traded for each other, sort of. Nothing important.
They were in the same trade.
Well, they were the 3-team trade.
Yeah, the Terrell Brandon trade.
Yeah, Terrell Brandon.
But do you guys have anything else to say about the 2010-11 Bucks season?
Try again next year.
Yeah. Okay. Briefly talk about what the Bucks should do in the offseason to improve their chances next year.
Well, I think first and foremost is the draft pick. You've got to get a good guy in here. You've got to get a guy who's going to be productive. It doesn't have to be a superstar. I mean, obviously you wouldn't want that, but I think realistically it's going to be in the later half of the top 10. And so you're not – I mean, this is – kind of by all indications, kind of a weak draft.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get an all-star there, but you can get a guy who will be a good fit with this team. I don't know exactly who I would take, because pretty much anybody I've liked so far has shot up or fallen off a cliff. So, I don't know. I mean, I think you just kind of have to take the best player available because there's not really any glaring needs with the Bucks, but there's also not really any glaring strengths either. So, I think they should just take the best player available because, really, there's no really set-in-stone guy. The closest to that is Bogut, and, I mean, would it hurt to have a legitimate backup to Bogut that's not John Brockman or Drew Gooden? No, it wouldn't. I think it would help the team a lot to have somebody like that. And maybe Larry Sanders can be that guy, but I don't know if he has the ideal bulk. I think he's more of a Kevin Garnett type guy who will be kind of perimeter-oriented on offense and will be kind of a banger on defense. But he's not an Andrew Bogut guy who's going to stay on the block because he just doesn't have that natural bloke. Natural
bloke?
natural build that a guy needs to have to do that. But, but yeah, I mean, one of the most important things, at least in contending next season, is Brandon Jennings has to get better. He has to get a lot better. He's got to make that third year step with point guards that we see, and that we've certainly seen this season from Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jennings has the skills to do it. I think I've kind of said all along that Jennings really only has to be Chauncey Billups. You know, a guy who he's not necessarily
Chauncey Billups circa 2000 or circa 2004.
I mean, I don't think he'll be as good as a prime Chauncey Billups, but he can be a similar type of player, a guy who has a low field goal percentage but is efficient because he shoots really well from three and really well from the free throw line and doesn't take a ton of 2-point shots. I think he's got to get better around the rim, but I think that's something that you can kind of practice and learn. He's got to improve from the three-point line and the free-throw line. And I think he's got to run the team better, and he's got to start playing defense like he was last season. This is his defense definitely tailed off this year. And really, I mean, a lot of other guys have to stay healthy. I think I would be kind of interested to see an offensive mind as an assistant coach because, well, I think Skiles is a really good coach, especially defensively, and as a motivator, I think his offensive system is a little lacking. I don't think he's finished any higher than 21st in offensive efficiency, so I don't know. I think that Skiles might need to be an alpha kind of guy, but if he would be willing, I'd kind of like to see somebody at least kind of help at least a little bit on some offensive schemes. But aside from that, I mean, you can trade Corey McGetty, you can trade Drew Gooden, you can trade John Salmons all you want, but the fact of the matter is...
Hold on. I'm gonna take the words I remarked. If we trade, like what you said, McGetty, Gooden, and Salmons, we're probably going to get back in return what we gave, you know, the Warriors. Like Charlie Bell, Danny G-type role players and bench players. For guys
who don't get
contracts. We're probably going to have like a Matt Carroll-type player.
We're going to get a combination of slop like we gave to get McGetty, or are you going to get a similarly deficient player like those guys? And, I mean, just kind of off the top of my head, would you trade Drew Gooden for Travis Outlaw?
No.
I probably wouldn't. And, I mean, those are going to be the kind of guys that you look at. Those are going to be available for trades. Do you want to trade Drew Gooden for Trevor Ariza? I probably wouldn't. So... Would you try? I don't really know a lot of guys making $10 million like McGetty is, but I don't know. I have confidence that they can, that at least McGetty can be okay. I don't really have much confidence in Drew Gooden.
Yeah. And what about Salmons?
I think Salmons will be, next season will really be a make or break year, because I think that while the second half Salmons kind of criticisms are valid, I do think he was kind of behind the eight ball. I think he was hurt this year more than he let on. So I do think that next year we'll be telling, you know, maybe if he can come back into camp 100% ready to go instead of kind of loafing through it and maybe being 100% in December, I think that we can see, I don't think he'll be the second half of last season Salmons, but he definitely won't be this season Salmons. And I mean, even if he's not 100% to where he was in 2010, but he's, you know, 90% of that, he'll be fine. And I mean, he fit in perfectly last season. So, I mean, I still have a little bit of confidence in Salmons. More so than the other two, I would say.
Yeah, because Salmons, it's kind of like a personality thing with Salmons, and kind of like where he has been, you know, he's had somewhat success with playoff teams, of course, to the Bucks last year and the Bulls the year before that, but, you know, McGetty hasn't. Gooden, he has, but he's been with team after team after team after team after team, and he's really not used to being in one team for, you know, multiple years, which he probably will with the Bucks. And I'm really super interested to see how Gooden and McGetty start playing next year.
Yeah, and I mean, like we mentioned before, they'll have a training camp. They'll have practices. You know, I mean, we don't know how long the lockout, if it even happens at all, will last. And that could definitely play into it. But, you know, I think it would be nice to see them, what they can do with a full training camp.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you're right, nobody, like, was, like, what you said before, the entire roster was not healthy together, even during training camp. During training camp, you know, Salmons was injured, and Bogut had issues, and CDR had issues, and it moved on to the season, and Delfino, McGetty, good, and on and on. We already talked about that, but I really want to see what happens when we have 12 guys healthy for at least a month. At least a month, I want to see what happens with this Bucks team.
Yeah, and I mean, my prediction before last year was a little lower than most. A lot of people had them winning, you know, like 50-52. I had them at 48, which was kind of the lower end of the spectrum. But, I mean, I don't think there's any reason they can't win 46-48 next year. I mean, that's what everyone thought they would before last season. What has made them any different? I mean, it's virtually the same team. You can say, okay, they're a little older, but a lot of those guys are trending upwards. They're not trending downwards. They're not guys at the down part of their career, except for maybe McGetty. and maybe Drew Gooden and maybe Salmons, but the rest of the guys are young enough where they're trending upwards, not downwards.
Yeah. Nick, what do you have to say about everything we've said?
I don't think you guys covered everything.
Really?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, I think they should bring back the same team, and I think just try this all over again next season with everyone coming back. But not everyone, because I think they need to tweak some few things. They need, like you guys said, they need a true backup center to back up Bogut, because, he's going to miss some games throughout his career. You just know he is, and you need someone that can give him a breather here and there. And we need a backup point guard. That's no doubt. After Rindauer went to Minnesota, you felt Doolin could take over and be adequate, but he's just been awful, and it has really cost the Bucks this entire season with just that move alone. And that's why my personal feelings, I think they should draft Kemba Walker, because I think he could be that. Uh-huh. You don't like that? I don't know. I'm not saying he could be a great player, but I think he could be a six
back
man.
Pitcher, but
yeah, not starting, not at all. He's not a starter, but he could be that six man. Like he could be like Ben Gordon is, and well, not as great of a scorer as Ben Gordon has proven in the league, but he could come off the bench and be instant offense, relieving Brandon Jennings.
But I feel like I have like a vet as a backup.
No, that's not gonna work.
Really?
I don't know.
Think
maybe.
So anymore?
It depends.
I don't think many vets would come. I mean, how many vets are going to come to Milwaukee?
Right.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
Thought, know that, like, I mean, they know they're gonna back up Brandon Jennings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the same reason Ridner left.
Jennings is gonna be in his third year. You think he needs a veteran?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know, that's just me.
It would be like kind of cool to see, like for some minutes in the game, like Kemba and Jenny just playing together.
I don't know. People may not want Walker, but I think, I don't know, they just need to buy.
I'm just cool if, you know, anybody we get other than Jimmer. I just don't want
him. Oh, Jim, yeah, he's good. Awesome.
Anybody but Jimmer. I don't care if we get some foreign dude.
Which I think Jimmer would be a better fit than Kemba Walker.
No.
I like him. I think Kemba Walker would be a better pro than most people think, but I think having Kemba with Jennings is just defensive suicide.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, I mean, they're so similar, at least in their size, that you can't really play them together without. And, I mean, Jennings is not exactly, you know, a stud with the ball on offense. So, if you're going to have both of those guys trying to guard, one of those two guys is going to have to guard a shooting guard in the NBA.
And that's going to be ugly.
So,
that's just my dream.
I like Kemba Walker as a player. I just don't think he's a good fit with Brandon Jennings because they're too similar. I think Jennings is more of a natural point guard, but they're both kind of less than efficient guys who try to look to score a lot.
The Bucks need to start looking for their point guard in the future because Jennings is just going to leave us anyway. So
Be positive.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mention that. Just
You know, he always.
I mean, if he doesn't get better in his third year, good. Don't let the door hit him on the way out.
I think he's holding back. Sometimes I feel he's holding back.
Have you seen his Twitter? He always says, it's. I love New York. I love LA. You know.
Let him leave. Let him go to play with Blake Griffin. That team won't do anything.
Yeah, he's most likely going to the. Let's. I don't know. He's gonna be a restricted free agent anyway. So unless he signs the qualifying offer, I just don't think the Bucks should just not tweak too much. I know they had a bad season and.
Yeah, I think we tweaked. Way too much last season.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Good, yeah.
I think that's kind of Hammond's MO, is to make a lot of trades and everything, and I think he does a decent job making trades, but I don't know. I think I agree with both of you guys that I don't think they should trade too much. I don't think they should, you know, try to, like, actively get rid of, you know, Gooden and Maggette and Salmons and all these guys, because, I don't know, then you start kind of, you start playing everything with everybody, and everyone's kind of worried about if they're going to get traded or not, and I think people played not very well.
Yeah, kind of have that thought in the back of your mind, like, is this, am I going to play with another team next week, or what?
Yeah.
And there's going to be chemistry issues if you have guys coming and going, coming and leaving.
Like, and that. Not to be corny with it, like, even on 2K, if you play the game in franchise mode, if you bring back the same team after a bad year, the chemistry is just going to get better. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you hope so. And I think the only kind of devil's advocate to that is you hope that that whole Jennings thing, which I don't think was a big deal, I think it was a little overblown, but like Nick had mentioned earlier, CDR tweeted something about that, you know, a couple of days ago, saying, like, you know, oh, if you're going to call out people in the media, you know, you're I don't even remember exactly what he said, but, I mean, it was basically the gist of, you know, you're a coward if you call people out in the media. And, I mean, let's be frank, I think there's a very high chance he was kind of doing the exact same thing to Jennings, and you just hope that this stuff doesn't fester. And I think the whole CDR thing has been very strange anyway, because he just has not played at all, and he's had very big games. And we know he was at least had a little bit of a question mark with him in New Jersey, with him maybe doing some weird things. And you just hope that all this stuff doesn't fester, and then you have another worse season, and then just everything just looks garbage. You know, one kind of fluke season you can kind of deal with, but two season definitely starts to become a trend, and then you've got to reevaluate your entire core, and that's not going to be fun for everyone if you got to go into a full blown rebuild mode once again.
Most definitely. So the point of the story is just basically stay with what we have. Maybe sign like a backup point guard or backup center to, you know, help out with the major weaknesses of the Nick.
Not to be negative, but with Michael Redd finally officially off this roster, won't he do great things for us?
If he, I have a feeling he's probably going to be coming back for, like, a minimum level contract.
No, he's not.
I don't think so. I mean, I was watching a little bit of SNW tonight, and I don't know. It seemed very much kind of like a farewell tour. And, I mean, I don't want to read too much into it, but, I mean, it's pretty evident that those guys are really in touch with the organization, certainly more than a bunch of schmoes like us. But, I don't know. It seemed very kind of, you know, watch them all you can type of stuff on the TV broadcast. So I don't know. And he's also, you know, he's not Skiles' guy. He's not Hammond's guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be kind of a Herb Cole meddling thing to bring him back. And I don't know. I think he's too much of a liability. I think it's too likely that he blows out his knee again when you've already got a guy like Andrew Bogut who is got injury concerns. You got a guy like Maggette who's probably going to miss 15 games. And, I mean, just all the injuries from this season, I just don't think it's worth it. I just don't think he's worth it even at a minimum deal. And I even like Michael Redd a lot more than some Buck fans, you know, like Nick. But
I think Nick has been tired of Michael Redd since, like, 2005.
You know what? When Michael Redd became a starter and people start complaining on him, I used to be one of his biggest fans and defend him, but I just got tired over and over the years, and I don't want to talk about Michael Redd. I'm done with him.
All right, I think that wraps up the show. Like I said, NBA playoff preview show coming up, on Thursday. I'm going to record a show on Wednesday, and it's going to be up on Thursday. Then Bruce Beer, I think, going to be up on Friday. or Saturday-ish. So, yeah. Me, Dakota, _ Schmidt on Twitter, Bugscast at gmail.com. Abe, go.
Twitter, GBMB34.
And Nick.
Really?
Yes. You want me to do it for you? I want to do it for you. Black, wow. Like the color, and MacGyver like the TV show. Black MacGyver on Twitter.
It's all one word.
All one word. Yes. It's like cliche.
Follow
now.
Me or I'll pay you $100 for it. I get.
Okay, I'd rather. Okay, here we go. Unfollow. Where's my 100? It's better than the last show we did. Follow or I'm gonna find you and kill you.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah, you did that, but yeah, this wraps up the first edition of the Bugscast in over a month. We promise to be back. NBA playoffs, everybody. We're gonna leave you with this. Things are always gonna get better next year. Hopefully, things
can't get any worse
next year with the Bucks. It can't get any worse. See you guys next time here on the Bucks Cast.